Stay tuned for one of the most fascinating programs you'll ever hear as we explore the strange and mysterious world of the paranormal and UFOs. Welcome to the Paranet Continuum, a weekly program dealing with extraordinary claims of the paranormal, on Earth and beyond. Whether or not you believe in the paranormal, the controversies are real, and this program will try to get to the bottom of it. Your host is Michael Corbin, Director of Paranet Information Services, a global communications network based near Denver, Colorado, dedicated to the investigation of parapsychology, futuristic science, and the UFO enigma. We invite you to keep an open mind as we discuss some of the most fascinating and strange subjects around. Now here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And tonight we're going back to the subject of the alien autopsy film. My guest tonight is going to be Bob Schell. He is a technical editor of Outdoor and Nature Photography, and he's a technical expert on photography. We're going to talk about the alien autopsy film. Bob has been working with it, and we're going to get an update on what's going on with that. But before we get to that, I want to mention something I got off the computer network, off of the Paranet News Group. As you may remember, we've had this gentleman on the program a couple of times. His name is Glenn Campbell. He goes by the name Psycho Spy, and he's the director of the Area 51 Research Center in Nevada, out there around Rachel, around the Area 51 area out there. This is not specifically related to the subject of UFOs, but it nevertheless, it's a federal court finding that might, in a way, have a large impact on the secrecy of that area out there. And I'm just going to read a little bit of this to you. Again, this comes out of Glenn's Desert Rat newsletter, the Groom Lake Desert Rat. This was from issue number 30, and it was printed on September the 29th. But the article goes, according to a September 2nd news article and September 5th press release, Jonathan Turley, the lawyer representing the plaintiffs in the hazardous waste suit against the Groom Lake base. Now, as I recall, that hazardous waste suit deals with the idea of people who worked out there at the base who were exposed to toxic chemicals while they were burning materials that were used for the building of the stealth airplane. Federal Judge Philip Pro has ruled that the military must either make its Groom Lake environmental reports public in compliance with Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, or seek an exemption directly from the president. The judge has set an October 2nd deadline for the government to decide what to do. And, of course, October 2nd has passed, but we're going to find out what happened with it. On October the 2nd, citizens will learn that they have a new federal facility, Turley said. The president will now have to personally exempt this facility by name or order the military to operate it under the same rules as other bases. This ruling could be the first step towards Psycho Spy's goal of someday eating in the base cafeteria and enjoying succulent prime rib and filet mignon at below Vegas prices. Turley appears ecstatic, but it is hard to guess what will really happen on October the 2nd. Given their absolutist position in the past, the military seems unlikely to take this lying down. They could conceivably appeal the ruling, which could delay compliance for months. Turley shows no fear of a presidential exemption. If the president wishes to deprive the public of environmental information or allow the military to circumvent the law, he will have to do so publicly and face the political consequences, Turley said. He will have to do so in dozens of cases. Now, as Glenn writes, sounds good, but we've heard only one side of the story, Turley's, so we will wait to see how the other side responds. And like I said, we'll try to get an information update on that, but that could be a significant breakthrough for trying to crack some of that that secrecy out there. Okay, now, a lot of you have seen the program on Fox Network. It's appeared twice, August the 28th, as I recall, and sometime the week following in September. It's the alleged autopsy of aliens that were recovered in a crash somewhere in New Mexico, I believe, or Arizona. And it's a very startling video presentation. If it's real, it turns out that it could be the most important event of mankind's history and would definitely illustrate that there have been alien beings visiting the Earth. However, the camp is sharply divided on whether or not the film is a hoax or whether it's real. My guest tonight, Bob Schell, is a technical editor of Outdoor and Nature Photography magazine. He's got an extensive background in photography, technical analysis on photography for the government and for private work. He is currently the owner of a company called Bob Schell Limited. He does consulting on product design and technical photographic problems for major camera companies, other firms, government agencies, etc. He is also sometimes called to testify as an expert witness in federal court cases involving photography, and he's also testified in patent courts on technical photographic patent interpretation. It's my pleasure to welcome to the program tonight Bob Schell. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening.
Happy to
be here.
Thank you for being on the program. Bob, first question I have for you, is it real or not?
Well, the film is certainly real. I have pieces of it in my office.
Okay.
Now, whether what's on the film is real is a totally separate question. And my brief isn't really to determine that. My brief is to determine if the film is of the right vintage to fit in with the cameraman's reported statements.
Okay. Well, first of all, give us a little bit of your background aside from what I just stated. How did you get involved with being an analyst on this project?
Well, that really sort of happened almost by serendipity. I'm not a member of the quote UFO community.
Okay.
But I've always been interested in this subject, going back to 25 years ago when I knew Don Kehoe. And
Major Don Kehoe?
Yeah.
Okay. As for our listeners out there, he was a Navy? Retired Navy guy?
I believe so.
Marine Corps?
I'm not absolutely sure because it's been so long since I talked to him. He's long since dead now.
Right.
He was the founder of NICAP, which was probably the most prestigious UFO investigation organization in the early days.
Uh-huh, and he wrote several books on the subject of UFOs.
Right. And so I was quite interested in those days and have kept an interest all along without really being directly involved in it. And I heard about this film very early this year through sort of the photographic rumor mill, because I hear about lots of things that way. And being a magazine editor, I'm always looking for scoops. And when I heard about the film, I went looking to find out who had the film and ended up getting in contact with Ray Santilli, the man who bought the film from the cameraman.
Okay.
And Ray and I had several lengthy telephone conversations about what was going on and his need to get somebody involved who could work with the photographic end of the thing to try to get the film verified. And I volunteered my services, and he accepted. And I've been working on it ever since.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about what you have found so far in your research of this.
Well, a lot of points that point toward the film being what it's claimed to be, in the sense that Kodak changed a number of things over the years in 16mm film. They changed the material the film is made from, the base material, and in 1947 it would have been a type of acetate called acetate propionate, which they haven't used since the early 50s. The film that I have samples of is made of acetate propionate. It's not made of the triacetate that was used later and is still used today. That coupled with the physical appearance of the film when compared to known samples from 1947, and the fact that the edge code of the film, which is the geometric code using two symbols, in this case a square and a triangle, would denote 1947 or 1967. Since this particular type of film was not manufactured in 67, that pretty much leaves us with 47.
Okay.
This is all preliminary physical research on the film.
Okay. All right, hold on. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll get more in-depth into your research and what you found on this piece of film. My guest is Bob Schell. We're talking about the alien autopsy that was aired on Fox about a month ago. He's a technical editor of Outdoor and Nature Photography magazine, and you can reach us at 1-800-836-2009. That's 1-800-UFO-2009. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
It's been said that the pen is mightier than the sword. With Paranet, the computer and modem is mightier than the pen. Paranet is the world's foremost electronic authority on UFOs and the paranormal. Paranet gives you rapid access to UFO researchers and others like you who want to know what's going on. You'll find stimulating discussions with an interactive link to the world through the Internet's information superhighway. There's a variety of departments dealing with paranormal activities, parapsychology, alien abduction research, conspiracy theories and government cover-ups, and cutting-edge science. There's even a skeptics conference. Paranet also has the world's most comprehensive database of news articles, sighting reports, and much more available for a small fee. So plug into power and knowledge with Paranet. Call the data line at 303-863-0469. That's 303-863-0469. Or for more information, contact Paranet at 303-863-0484.
Alien Grays makes t-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast, and they're some of the best artwork you've ever seen on a t-shirt. Alien Grays has over 15 designs, including the well-known gray alien head with almond-shaped black eyes, X-Files and Star Trek shirts, Fire in the Sky, and other dazzling alien life forms and space art. All t-shirts are blazing, full-colored, laser-printed onto 100% pre-shrunk white cotton tees. Now, people will notice these shirts when you wear them. To order a shirt or a catalog, call this number toll-free, 1-800-561-7775. That's 1-800-561-7775. Now, as we've done before in this program, I'm going to give away a free t-shirt from Alien Grays to the fifth caller right now who calls 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. And for those of you listening to this program late at night or early in the morning on tape delay, send us a postcard with your name and address, and we'll draw one postcard per week. That's right to the Paranet T-shirt giveaway, Post Office Box 172, Wheat Ridge, Colorado, 80034.
This is the Paranet Continuum, where we answer questions and question answers. And we want to know what you think. Call us and stay tuned. Now back to your host, the Director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
So is the alien autopsy film real or is it a hoax? You give us a call. We want your opinion. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. My guest tonight is Bob Schell. Bob has been investigating or researching the film, as he said, earlier in the hour, to determine whether or not the film is authentic, and we're trying to get to the bottom of what his research has shown. Bob, now, you contacted Santilli and you've been looking at the film. What do we have here?
Well, before we go into too much detail, I should say that what I have examined so far myself, it's two very short strips of film, each one having three film frames on it. And some people have questioned what I'm doing because I have no way of proving beyond a question of a doubt that the film segments I have, in fact, do come from the actual film that is in question.
Have you seen the whole film intact?
I have seen the video.
Okay, but not the film itself.
I have not seen the film itself because the film itself is in a bank vault in Switzerland.
I see, okay.
And it's not available to be inspected by anybody at the present time. So at the moment, I'm having to take Ray Santilli's word for it that the strips he sent me are, in fact, clipped from this film footage.
Okay, all right.
So that's why I'm saying that all of my conclusions are at this point preliminary.
All right, okay. What have they, I mean, you've only got three pieces of film, or three frames of this film. I'm kind of curious as to what they show or what you were doing with it to try and determine what this is.
Well, the two strips I have with three frames each. One of them shows the autopsy room empty prior to carrying in the creature and putting it on the table. And the lights aren't turned on in the room, so it's just a very dim view of a room.
Uh-huh.
The second strip shows three frames of the door to the room from the outside. And this second strip of three frames is visible on the video just before the camera starts to pan up from the floor up to the creature. So we have the, I guess you'd call it secondary evidence from the video that this is in fact part of the film.
Okay.
But I haven't got the primary evidence of being able to inspect the actual full strip of film myself. And what I'm trying to do at this point is to get cooperation from the person who has custody of the film to get a larger section of the film, or in fact the whole roll of the film, brought over to the U.S. and taken to Kodak in Rochester so Kodak can do some physical tests to verify the ones I've done, and also can do some chemical tests, which would give us answers beyond a shadow of a doubt as to the date of the film.
Okay. Now, as I understand it, now you have known, or you know that there is also additional footage that has not been shown on television or has not been shown anywhere.
We've only seen a very little bit on television. The program shown by Fox has, so far, if I figured it out right, shown less than 10 minutes of the total film. The autopsy itself is about 16 minutes in length. Then there's several minutes of debris footage showing pieces of the crashed saucer. There's a piece about 14 minutes long showing one of the creatures in a tent being either examined or possibly some emergency medical procedure being performed on it. It's hard to tell because it's very dimly lighted. And then there's also another section about 12 minutes long which shows a complete other autopsy of a different creature.
Okay. Now, from your professional opinion, as a person who's dealt with photography for many years and according to your biography quite extensively, in other words, it sounds to me like you're yourself being kept in the dark by this guy, by Santilli, and that really there's not anything substantial that you can even say regarding the authenticity of the film. Is that correct?
At the moment, Santilli is not the one who's causing the difficulties.
Okay.
It's the German partner of Santilli, who actually has physical custody of the film, who has so far refused to allow larger sections of the film to be sent out for analysis.
And is there any reason why he's not cooperating?
Well, I have not spoken to the man directly myself. I'm getting information relayed to me through Ray Santilli's office. I'm just told that he's not ready to do it yet and that he's not really all that concerned about verification. He's satisfied himself that it's the real thing, and that's all he really cares about at the moment.
Okay, all right. Now, Bob, as far as you're concerned, then what, from a professional standpoint again, does this cause an alarm to go off in your head?
Yeah, it sets off a little bit of an alarm, but not a major one, because I can see where the guy might be coming from. If he's himself convinced that it's the real thing and is happy with that, and he's a collector, then he may not care whether it's ever verified to anybody else's satisfaction.
Okay. Have you ever yourself talked to the photographer?
I have not talked to him in the sense of a direct one-on-one conversation. I have asked some very specific questions through Ray and have gotten answers back from Ray. I think that I am in this way communicating with someone who is a photographer, because mm-hmm. the questions I've asked are quite technical, and the responses I've got sound like they're coming from somebody who knows what they're talking about. And Ray, from my many conversations with him, knows almost nothing about photography.
Okay. Now, I keep hearing conflicting stories about one of the parts of the film that might show President Truman. Is there any truth to that? Is there anything in there that indicates that President Truman may be visible in one of these pieces of film?
Yes, there's a possibility. There's one roll of film which has not been transferred to video yet.
Okay.
Because it's in very bad condition and it's stuck together. And the box that this film is in, the label on it says Truman. And the numbering of the rolls are all numbered sequentially, means it should fit into the autopsy sequence.
Mm-hmm.
The cameraman apparently told Ray Santilli that Truman did come and observe one of the autopsies.
Okay. And is this film, is this something that's going to be shown publicly eventually, do you think?
I would assume that ultimately it will be. It's very difficult in film this old, when it's gotten stuck together, to unwind it without damaging it severely in the process.
Okay. All right, we're going to go to another break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about that in some depth. And my guest again is Bob Schell. He's the technical editor of Outdoor and Nature Photography magazine, technical expert on photography. We're talking about the Alien autopsy film. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Grab a pen and get ready to copy down a computer address. It's an email address where you can reach the Paranet Information Services BBS through America Online. With America Online's Internet Gateway, you can send us mail and we can respond to you personally through your America Online screen name. With America Online's Usenet Newsgroup tie-in, you can also access the 7 Paranet newsgroups dealing with UFOs, metaphysics, paranormal activity, and others. Learn about our upcoming shows and pose questions in advance. And if your question is selected, you'll get a free cassette copy of the show. You'll also find summaries of past shows. If you're not already a customer of America Online, call 1-800-827-6364 for more information. Now, here's that email address to reach us. It's paranet@aol.com or paranet@paranet.org. America Online and Paranet. A winning combination.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read. Are they just fiction, or imagination, or disinformation?
To find out, stay tuned for more of the Paranet Continuum with your host, Michael Corbin.
And I want to thank Glenn down in St. Augustine, Florida. He's the winner of the last T-shirt giveaway. He's on our affiliate WFOY in St. Augustine, Florida. Thanks for calling, Glenn, and you'll get the T-shirt very soon in the mail. Also, we got a call from a caller who calls it to report that the Las Vegas Review-Journal on October the 3rd reported that the president did sign an exemption for the Air Force, that it did represent national security interests. So that's going to be interesting to see what kind of fallout comes from that. Back to my guest, Bob Schell, who has been working on the alien autopsy film. And as many of you know, this allegedly shows the autopsy, or better yet, probably the dissection of an alien creature. And it sounds to me kind of, Bob, that that they're not maybe possibly, I mean, this kind of throws a chink in the armor, the way it sounds to me, like if they're not cooperating or trying to, what kind of work has been done by, say, Kodak? I know there's been a lot of confusion over what Kodak has actually done.
Well, up to the present moment, Kodak has done absolutely nothing.
Has it been because of lack of cooperation on the part of Santilli's people, or has it been some other reason? I understand that Kodak offered to do some work for a small sum of money, but that was not forthcoming.
No, that's completely incorrect information.
Okay.
I've been the liaison with Kodak from day one.
All right.
Kodak has never asked for any money. They have agreed to do the testing pro bono if they are supplied with a piece of film meeting their specifications, which means a piece of film 50 frames in length minimum with the alien creature visible at least in some of the frames. And so far that has not been provided to them.
Okay, and the reason is what? The same reason about why you can't get any more?
Well, the simple reason that they have not been willing to cut off a section of film that length. And they're very concerned about bringing a roll of film into the U.S. because they say they're very concerned that it will be confiscated from them when they try to come through U.S. Customs.
Okay.
Which is possibly a legitimate concern.
I don't think, I agree it probably is a legitimate concern, but it might not make much sense from the government standpoint.
Right.
Because it might create such a...
That would be admitting that it's real if the government tried to confiscate it.
Sure. Attacking this from a little different angle, from your standpoint as a photographic expert, what could have been done? In other words, what types of things could be done reasonably inexpensive to make this appear what it is?
In terms of making the film appear to be the right age?
No, in terms of making a hoax of this type.
Oh, in terms of hoaxing what's appearing on the film.
Well, I mean, we hear a lot of people say, well, it would cost too much. And
I'm not a special effects expert, so this is just a purely peripheral opinion.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that what's on the film is a hoax. I think that what's on the film is a real body of something that was living shortly before the dissection was done. I don't know what it is, but that's my opinion.
Okay.
But that's an opinion stated not as an expert in that end of things. It's just a gut feeling based on watching it so many times I'm bored with it.
Uh-huh. Is this getting a lot of attention?
I'm sorry?
Is this getting a lot of attention?
Well, outside the UFO community, it's getting no attention.
Why do you think that is?
Most people have never even heard of it.
Even despite the fact that it appeared on national television 2 weeks in a row?
Well, I talk to people every day, day in and day out. And most of them didn't even know about the Fox special, didn't watch it. Maybe they knew about it, but they thought, oh, this is just a bunch of weird crap and didn't watch it or whatever.
Okay, all right.
Then there are the expert opinions voiced by electricians, plumbers, taxi drivers, and so forth, who recognize me from TV appearances and say, oh, it's just absolutely not true because there aren't any aliens. How could there be a film of one?
Uh-huh. So, could Ray Santilli have been duped by somebody? Do you think that that's a possibility?
I think if there's any hoaxing involved in this at all, that Ray is not the one who did it. I think he's an innocent party if there was any hoaxing.
Can you speculate on who might... who would have the desire or the ability to do something like
this? If this film was created, if it's a studio creation, I think that the U.S. or one other major government would have been the only ones able to do it.
And what would their motivation have been?
I have no idea.
What could you speculate about?
I mean, I've heard some strange suggestions.
Well, try one.
one of them being that this is pure disinformation, and it'll be put out and built up into a really big deal, and then the government will expose it for what it is, their creation, and say, see, this proves that the whole UFO thing is a bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
That's one possibility. Another possibility is if it was hoaxed back in 47, which is looking more and more likely. It's looking more and more likely that the film really is that old. Someone said that it may have been created to be intentionally leaked to the Russians to make them think that we had gotten hold of alien technology and scare the heck out of them.
Now, if that would be the case, would that possibly? I mean, I've heard people speculate that this could have been actually a human being.
I don't think so. I've talked to quite a few doctors and surgeons and pathologists. I've had a man in here looking at the film in my office who's a specialist in penetrating wounds and works with police departments all over the country. And, you know, they're all who've looked at it. They're convinced it's a real body, but it's not a human.
Okay.
It looks superficially human externally, but internally,
well,
very little resemblance.
Okay. I'm just curious. Has your phone been ringing off the hook with UFO enthusiasts, abductees, etc.?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Tell us about some of the reaction that you're getting.
Well, I'm getting quite a few calls and emails and all that sort of thing from contactees. Half of them are saying, well, this has to be a hoax because there's no such creature as this. And they've talked to their contacts among the aliens, among the Greys, and the Greys have told them there's no such creature as this. And I've also found an equal number of contactees who say they've seen creatures exactly like this during abduction experiences.
Mm-hmm.
That these creatures are, quote, enforcers. The ones who do the rough stuff.
Right. Uh-huh.
That's why they're so muscular.
Okay. Now, Bob, could you take a blank roll of film, 1947, from 1947, and record it today?
No.
Using old cameras?
No, it could not be done.
It could. Why not?
Film is fogged by natural background radiation. If it's kept in a completely dark place, frozen solid, in a lead box, it still gets fogged by cosmic rays.
Okay.
After 48 years, it would have such a high fog level that you might get images, but the fog level would be easily detectable. And this film shows no detectable fog levels at all.
So it appears that and you said a minute ago, it looks like it's more and more like it was made in 1947.
I think the film is 1947 film. I think it was made in 47 by Kodak, exposed in 47, and processed fairly promptly.
Okay.
All indications look like that's the case.
Okay, we're going to go to break, and when we come back, I want to get into some more questions for our guest, Bob Schell. 1-800-836-2009, 1-800-UFO-2009. What do you think it is? Give us a call. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum. Alien Grays makes T-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast, and they're some of the best artwork you've ever seen on a T-shirt. Alien Grays has over 15 designs, including the well-known gray alien head with almond-shaped black eyes, X-Files and Star Trek shirts, Fire in the Sky, and other dazzling alien life forms and space art. Now, all T-shirts are blazing, full-colored, laser-printed onto 100% pre-shrunk white cotton tees. People will notice these shirts when you wear them. To order a shirt or a catalog, call this toll-free number, 1-800-561-7775. That's 1-800-561-7775. Now, as we've done before in this program, I'm going to give away another Alien Grays T-shirt to the seventh caller right now who calls 1-800-UFO-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. That's the seventh caller. Give us a call now.
Pilots depend on accurate, timely information, both in the cockpit and on the ground. Skyway Publications helps with both. The Skyway Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide provides convenient, accurate information for safe flight and landing operations, as well as local businesses that cater to pilots. These are free pocket-sized guides with information on large and small airports nationwide, along with technical information, fuel and airport services, and businesses that can make life easier for pilots. Keep in mind, it's free. Check your local airport for the Skyway Publications Airport Directory and Entertainment Guide, or call area 970-669-1800. Call Skyway today and find out how the guide can also be a financial opportunity for you. Skyway Publications, your ticket to safer, cheaper, and more convenient flight. Check your local airport or call Skyway at 970-669-1800.
Stay in touch with the latest news on the paranormal and the growing UFO phenomena by fax, computer network, and this program, The Paranet Continuum. Here's your host, Michael Corbin.
And my guest is Bob Shell. We're talking about the alien autopsy film. Of course, it sounds to me more and more like this thing could possibly either go poof or something is going to be forthcoming in the near future. I don't know. I guess for me, the one important aspect of this that we have not seen yet is any kind of official confirmation, and nor do we have a body to examine, and I guess that's going to be the final arbiter of whether or not this is real. But, Bob, what do you think of this statement? If the U.S. government, say the FBI, CIA, etc., they didn't want you to talk about this, would they have stopped you already?
I suspect they would have, sure.
Okay. And, you know, the thing is that I guess the flip side of that coin is that if they did, maybe perhaps it would be another acknowledgement like we were talking about earlier about getting some of the film into the country and being afraid of it being confiscated. That might tip the scale in favor of the possibility that the government's actions could be construed as an acknowledgement of the reality of it. But I guess, you know, your background now, you know, have you ever talked with any of your CIA contacts about UFOs?
Well, yes, I have. Most of them really don't know very much.
Okay.
Not because anything has been so much withheld from them. It's just because they haven't really had the interest to look for it. At least that's my impression. They're quite interested in this film because it's something very much surprising to them. And they were quite surprised, in fact, that the film was out. And the surmise they've given me is that the film is out by accident. But once it's out, the decision was made that the cat was too far out of the bag to put it back in again.
So there's just nothing to do but let it fly and see where it lands, right?
Let it play itself out.
Yeah. Well, the cameraman himself, the gentleman that allegedly took the film, how did he manage to, you know, get this film out of the control of the military?
Well, now that's one of the parts that causes me some trouble.
Okay.
Because his version of the story is that he kept back these 22 rolls of film because they needed special handling, and he hand processed them. That part of the story, I believe, because the film looks as though it was hand processed and given special processing for one reason or another. But then he says he called and asked for the film to be picked up, and no one ever came to pick it up, and he called several times, and it just never was picked up.
So he just shoved it in a box and took it home?
I don't believe that for a minute.
Okay.
I believe he stole the film. I believe he knew what it was worth, or what it was going to be worth. and he figured out some way to squirrel it away.
Do you know if he's been contacted at all by any authorities, military authorities? He is a U.S. citizen, isn't he?
So far as I know. It's my understanding that back around 1970, he surfaced in Los Angeles and tried to sell the film. And at that time, he was raided by some people who searched his house trying to find the film, and it scared him so badly he just kept it hidden until last year when he began turning it over to Ray Santilli.
Mm-hmm. What is his story? I mean, what have you heard about what he has said about the event? Do we know what location this occurred at, the crash?
Yeah, the important thing to realize among people who haven't already heard the details is that this particular event has nothing whatsoever to do with the, quote, traditional Roswell event.
Right. A lot of people confuse it, but it apparently is not the Roswell event.
The people who did the Fox TV program confused it.
Okay.
And I think they did it just because they didn't want to try to start off on a whole new tack. But this particular crash occurred, according to the cameraman's story, 10 miles southwest of Socorro, which puts it something over 100 air miles away from the Foster Ranch, where Mac Brazel found the stuff he found.
Would this be the same vicinity of where Stan Friedman wrote his book, The Crash at Corona?
About 50 miles away from Stan's position.
The Plains of San Augustine?
Yeah, it's not on the Plains of San Augustine, but it's close to them.
Okay.
And there could be some confusion there. This could be the same event. This could be the event that Barney Barnett stumbled onto. But that we're not clear about that yet. We are clear about the fact that this happened on the last day of May in 1947.
Which would have preceded Roswell.
Yeah, preceded it by a little over a month. And we know that because there are a number of eyewitnesses to the fireball coming down, both local ranchers who saw what they called a damn big meteor come down that night, and people as far away as Gallup, New Mexico, who saw it pass over there in the direction of Socorro.
Now, Socorro is an interesting place. Lonnie Zamora in 64.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. That's in that same vicinity where Lonnie Zamora, for those listening, Lonnie Zamora was a New Mexico State Patrolman that saw something come down in the deserts of near outside of Socorro, New Mexico, actually. And when he approached it, he realized that he thought they were children, small creatures standing outside of an egg-shaped device that was on the ground. And when they saw him, this device made a loud roar, shot out some blue flame, and then got quiet, and then zoomed off into the desert, and that was the end of it. But that's interesting, New Mexico and all that area that's around there. Do you think that this will cause more films, more testimony, to come out of the woodwork?
I hope it does. We have one other film, a widow of a Roswell Air Force Base photographer presented us with a roll of film earlier this year that her husband had taken when he was at Roswell Air Base in 47. And all he had ever told her about this was that this roll of film would prove that it wasn't a weather balloon.
Okay.
And that she should keep it safe, and it was dangerous to have this roll of film. And she brought it forth this year and gave it to Mike Hesseman, a German investigator,
uh-huh,
who was in Roswell doing some work on this.
Has that film been developed?
Yes, it has, but unfortunately, because of the age of the film, there's nothing there.
Okay. So there's no image?
No, there's no image. So it's inconclusive as proof, only that it's just an interesting story that adds another little twist to the whole tale.
Sure. What's the role of money in this whole scenario?
Well, Ray Santilli's in it only for the money.
And he's very open about that, isn't he?
He's not a UFO person. He's not particularly interested in it. He just stumbled onto this and saw the chance to make quite a bit of money from it.
Has he done so?
I don't know in terms of dollars and pounds how much he's taken in, but I suspect that it's a lot less than he thought it was going to be.
You think there's going to be anything in the future for it? As far as this kind of seems, I keep hearing now. You know, people are saying I'm sick and tired of hearing about this. But do you think that there's going to be anything further on this?
Well, I'm sure there will be at various points. I mean, I'm sure at some point we're going to be able to do the testing, the additional testing that I want to do. I'm sure that at some point the other film segments will become available in authorized form. I say authorized form because they're already available in bootleg form.
Uh-huh.
And more people will see that explaining one creature as either a human anomaly or a special effects creation is difficult, but explaining three of them is a lot harder.
Sure. Okay. We're going to go to our last break here, and we'll come back. I want to get a final statement from you on your personal opinion of all of this stuff. So stay tuned. The winner of the last T-shirt was Charlie from Boise, listening in on KIDO. Again, Charlie in Boise, Idaho, thank you for calling. You're the winner of the Alien Grays T-shirt. You'll receive that very soon. I'm Michael Corbin, and you're listening to the Paranet Continuum.
There are many magazines about UFOs. Continuum is different. Continuum is the official quarterly publication of Paranet and MICAP, and is the outgrowth of Paranet's worldwide communications network on paranormal phenomena. It's in-depth, challenging, and above all, fascinating. It takes a straight-ahead, no-nonsense look at UFOs, worldwide sighting reports, parapsychology, abduction phenomena, futuristic science, and much, much more. You can get Continuum for just $18 a year. Continuum is also available by fax for a small additional fee. Be informed. Call now and subscribe to Continuum. Call 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Continuum, published by Paranet Information Services and MICAP. Order yours today at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. Continuum, one of the most fascinating magazines you'll ever read.
Paranet and MICAP, the multinational investigations cooperative on aerial phenomena, gives you a chance to hear and read more about UFOs and the paranormal. Catch up on our previous Paranet radio shows with cassette tapes you can order for $8 each, or two tapes for $6 each, three or more at $5 each. Become a member of Paranet and subscribe to Continuum, Paranet's quarterly magazine. And don't forget our stunning black T-shirt with a background of galaxies, stars, and comets, the Paranet and MICAP logos, and a beautiful blue-green planet Earth. When you order from Paranet, you're helping to support this program. Call now for more information or to order your tapes, Continuum subscriptions, or T-shirts at 1-800-UFO-NET-1. That's 1-800-836-6381. Paranet, your window on the universe at 1-800-UFO-NET-1.
To one of the most unusual programs you'll ever hear. It's the Paranet Continuum, and it deals with some of the most fascinating mysteries around. Once again, here's your host, the director of Paranet Information Services, Michael Corbin.
And fascinating indeed they are, the mysteries of the UFOs and the paranormal. We're talking with Bob Schell. We're talking about the alien autopsy film that shows or allegedly shows the autopsy or dissection of an alien being. Before we return to Bob, though, I want to give away one more T-shirt before the end of the hour. As I've said before, Alien Grays is a sponsor of this program. They make T-shirts and sweatshirts for the UFO enthusiast. And we've got a T-shirt that we're going to give away tonight to the eighth caller who calls us at 1-800-UFO-2009. That's 1-800-836-2009. And that's the eighth caller who calls. We'll get a free T-shirt from Alien Grays and Paranet. Bob, wrap up the hour for us. So, what is your personal opinion? What has this done for you as a man? And secondly, as an expert in photo analysis, what has this done for you? What does it tell you?
Well, I've always tried to keep an open mind about UFOs and other Fortean phenomena.
Uh-huh.
And so it wouldn't shock me or upset my belief system or anything else if this turns out to be the real thing. It could quite easily be the smoking gun everybody's been looking for. But at the moment, we can't tell because it's been badly mishandled by the people who got hold of it. And I'll say that because I know Santilli, and I know he wouldn't disagree with that. He feels great regrets about some of the mistakes he made early on.
Along the way with this thing.
And by letting the film get into the custody of this other person.
Right.
Rather than keeping it under his own control.
Now, you're going to continue to do the research on this yourself as they supply the material?
So long as there's any research to be done, I'm happy to continue doing it.
Okay. And you will keep us posted on what you discover as you go along?
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Ray, or I'm sorry, Bob, thank you very much for being on the program tonight. It's been
happy to be here. Been
an interesting hour. And do you have an email address or some way that people can reach you if they have questions?
Yeah, they can reach me at 76750-2717. At CompuServe.com.
Okay. Say that one more time.
76750-2717.
Okay. All right, Bob, thank you very much again for being on the program.
Glad to be here.
Okay. Thank you for joining us tonight on the Paranet Continuum. And give us a call if you have a sighting report, 1-800-387-2001. That's 1-800-387-2001. I'm particularly interested in anybody in the Denver area who might have seen something about a week and a half ago. We've got a couple of reports of a fireball of some unusual characteristics coming down. If you saw that, give us a call. I'll see you next week. Until then, I'm Michael Corbin telling you to keep your eyes on the skies. Good night.